Welcome to the HR Room Podcast, the podcast series from Insight HR, where we talk to business leaders from around Ireland and share their advice on how to create the HR systems and workplace culture that's right for your business. For show notes and bonus content, simply visit www.insighthr.ie/podcast. And remember, if you need any HR support, get in touch with us at Insight HR. Whether it's conducting a complex workplace investigation, filling a gap by providing you with a virtual or on-site HR resource, or providing advice via our HR support line, we'll help you resolve whatever human resources challenge your business is facing. Okay, let's get started.
Hi all, and welcome to the second episode in our two-part series on discrimination in the workplace. In our last episode, we discussed some steps that HR can take to help prevent discrimination from occurring in the first place. If you haven't listened to that episode yet, then do so now. And today we'll be discussing the steps you should take when a claim of discrimination lands on your doorstep. I'm joined by HR Room regulars Mary Cullen and Liam Barton. Hi, guys.
Hi, Sarah.
Hi, Sarah.
Liam, we might just recap on the previous episode for a second where we discussed the steps that HR can take to help prevent discrimination occurring in the first place. What exactly do we mean when we use the term discrimination in the workplace? You know, what might such a claim look like?
Absolutely. Well, I suppose the main piece of legislation in this area, Sarah, as we've alluded to in the previous podcast, are the Employment Equality Acts. And the Employment Equality Acts have been around for just over 20 years in Ireland. And they outlaw discrimination on any one of the nine grounds which we've spoken about. And essentially, discrimination arises when an employee is treated less favorably than a comparator on a similar basis would be, who was not represented by one of the nine grounds. And that type of discrimination can arise under very, very broad headings. And I suppose when we speak about this area, it's a very, very, very important to state that it is a very, very broad area. So for instance, discrimination in the workplace may take place in regards to access to promotional opportunities, training and development, promotion, pay, fringe benefits, time off. It can arise under, I suppose, protected legislation in terms of protected leave. So really a claim might look like any type of employment-related claim or internal complaint or grievance which would be discrimination-related or related to the particular ground under which the person might be making such a claim. That could arise to the WRC in relation to an employment equality claim or a discriminatory dismissal claim. They would be the main areas which an employee in that area would be looking at.
Mary, when it comes to the burden of proof, where does it lie? Is it on the employer to prove that discrimination wasn't a factor, or is it on the employee to prove that they were discriminated against?
Yeah, I think the burden of proof is on the employee in the first instance to establish facts from which it can be presumed that there has been discrimination in relation to him or her. And if the employee can do this, then the burden of proof shifts from the employee to the employer to prove that discrimination did not occur. So actually, the burden of proof is on both of them. So the employee must establish a case in the first instance before the employer has a case to answer.
So, Liam, what is the very first thing that you would do if you were to receive an allegation of discrimination in the workplace?
If you receive an allegation of discrimination in the workplace, typically it comes through a number of forums. It can come via an internal email. It can come via a one-to-one meeting. It can come via an internal grievance being raised or a complaint being raised under the Dignity at Work Act. So I think the most important thing, Sarah, is that any person who receives such a complaint treats it very, very seriously, takes the appropriate action. If they don't feel comfortable or confident dealing with the complaint themselves, that they take the appropriate advice. If that's a line manager, it will be interfacing with the HR department. if it's a HR business partner or director of HR who hasn't maybe experienced in the past of dealing with such complaints, they may very well be advised to take advice from a HR consultant, a consultancy like ourselves, or an employment law solicitor. And I think there's a few key steps they should look at. Do they have the capability or expertise of dealing with the concern raised internally? A lot of HR departments don't. And what they do is they will get an external HR consultancy or third party to conduct an investigation into the complaint that is raised or the matter at hand. And typically that gives a degree of comfort and confidence to the organization, because they can be assured that an independent, impartial, neutral third party is going to come in, investigate forensically the complaint, come to findings of fact in relation to what has or has not occurred in line with their internal procedures. And I think very often, Sarah, that gives an opportunity for the organization to look at areas, whether that's training and development, whether it's communication, whether it's policy development, whether it's access to training and development or promotional opportunities internally. And it gives an opportunity to review certain aspects of the employment relationship. So I think a key thing is that employers and companies would look at it positively and look at it as an opportunity for learning and change to take place.
So let's say, like, to give some step-by-step processes here. Mary, what should HR do when it is alleged that someone is being discriminated against?
I think it's really important to say, Sarah, that, you know, the nine grounds are very broad. So you, under those nine grounds, there's a whole range of different issues and areas that might arise for employers and for the HR department to deal with. So, for instance, if you advertise a role and you have complaints from candidates that your role was discriminatory or your advertisement was discriminatory, you may be subject to somebody taking a claim that, you know, they were discriminated against by virtue of the ad in the first place, or that they weren't shortlisted for a role because of certain criteria that were required, or they weren't successful at an interview, or, you know, when they came into the job, they were discriminated or overlooked in other ways. But it varies hugely depending on the issues involved. From, I guess, a HR perspective, like Liam says, if somebody makes a complaint, whether that's oral or whether it's in writing, whether they make it themselves or their trade union or a third party like a solicitor raises an issue, it doesn't really matter. The job is to take it seriously and take appropriate steps in line with your policies, whether that's a grievance or whether that's raised under your dignity at work processes, or whether you get a letter from somebody who felt they were discriminated against right at the get-go, at the earliest stages of their potential life cycle with the company. And remember, even when it comes to redundancy, even at the final stages of an employee's experience with the company, if an employee feels that they have been chosen and had their role selected for redundancy versus another person on discriminatory grounds, the employer may well face, you know, an allegation of that nature after they've made somebody redundant. So all the way through, from recruitment all the way through to termination of employment, there is that potential there. And surprisingly, it's probably an area where we find that lots of HR practitioners and professionals don't really understand fully what needs to be done to protect the organization from those kind of allegations. Because remember, you've got your line managers. What your line managers do, irrespective of what's written in your employee handbook, may be entirely different from that which you expect them to do. So there's an education, awareness, policy development, your cultures, your values, your attention to minority groupings. That's all very important.
It's a really sensitive area, isn't it? I mean, there's a whole plethora, as we kind of mentioned earlier, a whole plethora of things that someone can claim that they are being discriminated against within each of the nine grounds. Liam, are there any no-nos when it comes to addressing such a claim?
One of the areas of advice I'd give is where organizations have been criticized, Sarah, in the past, is how detailed and comprehensive their follow-up is following a complaint being raised. And I think on occasion, you know, there's an initial investigation or an initial examination or an initial sort of commitment in terms of training and development or retraining of staff or communications or policy development. I think it's very, very important that there's a real comprehensive process at place whereby if there is an investigation and there are certain recommendations that are, you know, recommended that the company would implement by close of year, I think it's very, very important that there's a commitment and that they're actually implemented and that there's some sort of follow-up action plan, whether it's 6 months, 12 months down the line, to review things so that, and that can be a follow-up conversation with the employee who has raised the concern, just to reassure them that everything is appropriate or is in place and that their concerns have been addressed. Because I think one of the areas where employers and companies have been heavily criticized by third parties is where there hasn't been an appropriate follow-up where a concern has been raised. And that can get presented to by the third party essentially saying, well, look, you were put on notice, for want of a better phrase, that there was a concern. You should have been proactive. You should have been interested enough to make sure that resources were put in place to ensure the communication skills training took place, awareness around this whole area was communicated right throughout the business, that there was a full and comprehensive process to follow up any recommendations. And I think occasionally, Sarah, there's an initial reaction and then the process or the intervention just dies away. And I think it's really, really important from a HR and from a company point of view that there is a comprehensive follow-up action plan and that it's implemented right throughout the organization.
Yeah, and I think also, Liam, you know, when it comes to HR and HR's responsibility, you know, the nine protected grounds cover such a wide range of potential areas in which people can be discriminated against, that really you should be taking each one of them and looking at, you know, from a gender perspective, what are we doing? What's our policies? You know, are our line managers trained? Are our, you know, pay, terms and conditions of employment, our benefits, you know, are any of those discriminatory? What about our gender pay gaps? All of that which is coming down the line. Then you might look at something like disability and think, you know, what are we doing in terms of, you know, being an organization that facilitates employees working with disabilities? What do we do? Are we raising awareness? You know, and so on and so forth. For each area, you can look at it and consider, well, do we have minority groups here? If we don't have minority groups here, why don't we? You know, what's our policy around this? Is there something that we're doing within our organization that is excluding a race, a nationality, a gender? you know, people with disabilities, and really for HR to examine each area and think, what is the organization doing here? When we write our job advertisements and our job specifications, are we accidentally excluding groups of people from these in the way in which we phrase things in the criteria that we advertise? And so I really think there's a lot of work that HR departments need to do to, I suppose, assess where they stand from this point of view. The worst case scenario is when we have a claim against the company, because it's, you know, there's stigma attached to that, and no organization wants to be considered to have discriminated against any group of employees. There's a lot of embarrassment for employers in those circumstances. So I think it's really worth spending time and looking at that from an HR perspective.
I couldn't agree more, Marianne. I think that the point you make is a very interesting one. How reflective in actual situations is the policy that's in place? So in other words, we have the policy, we've developed it, we fine-tuned it, we've rolled it out to all staff. But in reality, is that what's happening on the ground? And how confident are the line manager team in terms of implementing that policy on the ground, and how aware are they of the topics that you've discussed? And I think sometimes there can be a difference between the policy document and what's actually being implemented on the ground in actual terms.
Yeah, and so often, I mean, policy documents are always beautifully written, and it's clear that we have a zero tolerance policy on any form of discrimination, and we're not going to do it at any level within our organizations. And yet there's a plethora of case law out there that absolutely contradicts that. You know, how are we treating pregnant women? How are we treating women who return to work after the maternity leave? How are we treating people with a different sexual orientation? How are we treating people who are disabled? You know, I think there's a lot of questions that need to be answered, and writing a policy and having that statement out there and including it in our induction programs isn't enough. We've really got to be raising awareness, looking at unconscious bias, looking at what's actually happening in our organization for those kind of things to change.
Yeah, and I think one of the steps we can do is, one of the simple questions is, Mary, going back to our own staff and saying, you know, what are your views? How engaged do you think we are? How respectful and tolerant a workforce do you think we are? How much do we support those groups that you spoke about? As a woman, how respected and engaged do you feel before and after pregnancy? How well respected within the workforce do you feel from a promotional point of view? I think there's a range of questions there, Mary, that could be posed via an online employee attitude survey, you know, which would really assist an organization really in developing a better culture, and also, being honest, putting in place a better defense against any putative claims.
Yeah, I think it's, I guess probably what we're saying, Liam, is that, you know, HR has a duty to examine things more carefully. You know, we're not just about policy development. In order to, you know, have a place at the senior level, we've got to be raising these issues, looking after the employee body, making sure that nobody's experience with our organization is damaging to their health, their well-being, their sense of place in the world. You know, how dreadful to come into work and be discriminated against because you've had a baby, because of your skin color, because you practice a different religion to the majority of people in the organization, and so on and so forth. It's just such a huge and broad area. You know, I'm a real believer in social justice, and, you know, it's not popular. It can be at times, you know, you've got your Me Too movement and, you know, sexual harassment has, you know, jumped to the forefront of the agenda. and yet it still goes on. And so there's some kind of a disconnect, I think, between what we say, what we write, and what we actually do at an organizational level. And until that changes, you know, people can be on the fringes and can be marginalized at work.
Such a wide topic, isn't it? And one that I'm going to attempt to give you some key takeaways on. So when it comes to addressing a claim of discrimination in the workplace, here are my takeaways. Number one, take it seriously. Look at the claim seriously and bring in a qualified third party who can help you assess how reasonable this claim actually is. And remember that valid claim will relate to one or more of the 9 grounds of discrimination as outlined in the Equality Acts, which are gender, civil status, family status, sexual orientation, religion, disability, race, age, and membership of the travelling community. And within each of those 9 grounds, there's a whole range of different occurrences that could be seen as discrimination on one of those grounds. My second takeaway then is that process, really review your policies and procedures, which should inform you how to deal with an allegation that comes your way. And remember to continue to support the employee throughout the investigation as well. You know, look on their claim as a positive. It gives you an opportunity to identify areas where you may need to work on communicating your organization's culture and values. And then my third takeaway is that if a third party has advised on or given some recommendations, review their report and take it seriously. Don't just file it away in case you need it at a later stage. Actually take their recommendations seriously because it can help to prevent against any future claims of discrimination in the workplace. Right, guys?
Yes.
Yes.
Spot on, absolutely. Sarah.
Brilliant. Well, thank you both for joining us. And I'll catch up with you soon for another episode.
Thanks for joining us today on the HR Room Podcast, the podcast series from Insight HR that helps you create the human resources systems and workplace culture that's right for your business. For show notes and bonus content, go to www.insighthr.ie/podcast. That's www.insighthr.ie/podcast. We'd love it if you subscribe, like, and share the show with any friends and colleagues who are looking for fresh ideas on how to create the ideal workplace for their business. And remember, if you need any HR support, get in touch with us at Insight HR. Whether it's conducting a complex workplace investigation, filling a gap by providing you with a virtual or an on-site HR resource, or providing advice via our HR support line, we'll help you resolve whatever human resources challenge your business is facing. Thanks, and see you soon.